even in an empty building with nine of us, there's such great energy, such great presence of God. And I hope that you're experiencing that at home. That is my prayer. At this time, we're going to do our giving moment. I just want to tell you, so grateful for your prayers and for your continued support as you've given online, as you've nailed in checks, and that you've given. And I'm just so grateful for that. Just so very grateful. And want to just give you the opportunity right now for just a moment of reflection while Stephen plays. And this is our offertory. This is our giving moment. Maybe God will impress you to do something very special today. Maybe you're this is the week that you usually give. But I just want to just ask God's blessing on your family as you give right now or as you intend to give, making a commitment to that. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this offering. I thank you for the gift. I thank you for the giver. Lord, I want to thank you that we have such a great opportunity in these days and maybe in the future to help a lot of people. And I pray, God, in this day, Lord, that you would just position us just for that, that we would be positioned, Lord, to meet needs that are unprecedented. And I ask, Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of the giver. I pray, Father, that it would return back into their lap, Lord, some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified, Lord, as a church body gives to their church. Lord, bless them today. Bless this offering in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen.
Awesome.
That's powerful. I really hope that the Spirit of God is filling your homes and your hearts the way that He is in this room right now. I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you of the April month of prayer for the lost. About, at the end of January, God just really kind of put it on my heart that His desire for us as a church body was to begin praying very specifically and very strategically for the lost people around the world. And I wasn't sure exactly what that was going to look like, but over the last month or so, God's began to reveal that and open up my eyes to some things. So next week, we're going to begin praying specifically for the lost. We're going to split this up into three areas of lostness. We're going to pray next week for the unchurched and the non-believers, which really pretty much makes up most of the folks who are not Christians in our country. The following week, we'll focus on those folks who have come to a church or tried church or maybe put their toe into the waters of believing in God and yet pulled back and are not following Christ right now, who maybe they were hurt or are struggling or just didn't get it. And we're going to be praying for them the following week. And then the last week of April, we'll focus on the unreached peoples of the world, predominantly the 1040 window folks. We'll be praying for them and asking God just to do a mighty work among the peoples, unreached peoples of the world. But this week, I think before we start anything like this, as a church, collectively, or even as individuals, God would have us first examine ourselves. You know, I just believe that God wants us to consistently examine our lives, our faith, our walk with Him, and ask Him to make us more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. We see a picture of that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. God tells us that if my people who are called by my name, that's us, will humble themselves and pray, if they'll seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So God gives us some very specific things. He gives us four things that I hope that this week we'll all be focusing on, praying about, asking God to reveal in our lives if there's changes that need to be made. He tells us to be humble before Him. He asks us to seek Him above all else. He wants us to have a prayerful attitude day in, day out. And He desires for us to have a repentant heart, to turn away from our sin. Those are the things that I believe God just asks us day in, day out. But this week, I really want you, as your missions pastor, to focus in on this passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Focus in on those four areas and ask God any changes you need to make. If the Spirit would convict you of any sin in your life that you know is there, or maybe it's uncertain, but that God would just prepare your heart for the coming few weeks as we begin to pray for the lost. We want God to hear our prayers. We want God to bring worshipers unto Himself. And this is the beginning of that. So I hope you'll join me this week. You'll get lots of information on Facebook and some videos, live videos on Facebook. But throughout the week, please be in prayer, focusing on your own heart, focusing on yourself, so that we might have a posture before God that honors Him and glorifies Him. So thank you. Thanks, Mike. I almost forgot to pray. Lord, so grateful, God, for your moving in our midst. And Lord, I just pray right now that in spite of all that's going on in the world around us, in spite of quarantines and a virus and some fearfulness and Lord, and even death, God, you are still King. You're still Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and you're still on your throne today. And Lord, I just know, God, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're orchestrating all these things for our good. That more worshipers might come before your throne to know you, Lord. And I just pray, God, for our people this morning. I pray, Lord, for myself. I pray for my family. I pray for my church, Lord, that we would examine ourselves before you this morning. And throughout the week, God, and if there's areas of our lives, Lord, that are prideful, I pray you would remove those. If there's a spirit of fearfulness in my life, Lord, take it away. God, I pray that uh,
that you would help me to seek you above all else, that you would give me a prayerful heart, Lord, that as I see things going on around me or I interact with people, Lord, my first reaction would be to pray for them and to ask, Lord, that you would move in the lives of your people. And God, I pray that if there's sin in our lives, Lord, if there's things in my life or the lives of your people that don't please you, God, I pray that you would convict us of that sin and that you would remove it from us. God, we desire for the people of the world to have opportunity to hear of your great name, to respond to a gospel presentation, Lord, and respond to you. And God, come into saving grace, saving faith and knowledge of you, that they might worship you. Lord, we pray that this morning, God, examine us, help us to examine our lives, and help us to become more and more like your son, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Craig. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to be looking at a number of verses here. From the past few weeks from this pulpit, I've been encouraging you by the way of faith and trust and putting our eyes on Jesus in the midst of some threats, some fearful things that are going on with the COVID-19 virus and the panic that continues to move through lots of communities. Last 2 weeks ago, we spoke, the message was called Unshakable, We Will Not Fear from Psalm 46. And then last week was Certain, We Are Going to the Other Side. And that was from Mark 4. But today's message is Resolute. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Now, the word resolute means to have a fixed purpose, determined, bold, firm, steady, constant in pursuing a purpose before you. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you." It's time to seek the Lord. The big question that I'm asking myself is what are you seeking in these days? Are you seeking God or are you seeking other things? Because I'm telling you, this world is seeking a whole lot of other things. They are seeking for goods and services. They are seeking for toilet paper and paper products. They are seeking for testing. They are seeking for health. They are seeking for a lot of things. We got our minds on a lot of things, and I'm going to say this, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek him first and foremost. Lots of folks are seeking the news and the current news, what's going on. Hey, I'm there with you. I'm struggling with some of the same things you are. I'm questioning some of the same things you're questioning. And all of a sudden, I realize sometimes I'm getting swamped, and I'm realizing I'm seeking other things before I'm seeking God. What about you? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking him? Hosea is talking in the midst of judgment, of condemnation on God's people. He is a prophet that's saying, listen, you've sowed to the wind. You have committed spiritual adultery. You have been walking in sin and rebellion, and it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to break up the fallow ground. It's time to break up the ground that I want you to plant something wonderful and eternal, where weeds have gathered and the garden has gone hard. I want you to seek me. I want you to break up the fallow ground, and I want you to see that when you sow according to righteousness, you're going to reap kindness. And this righteousness of God will come upon you. I love the word righteousness. It's more than just justice. Righteousness, if you would look that up and study it and go deep with it, it simply means what is right, what is just, what ought to be in God's economy. It's integrity, it's liberation, it's deliverance, it's welfare, and it's this 1800s word called it's felicity. It's felicity, he says. Felicity means happiness, or rather great happiness, blessedness, blissful, prospering, the blessing of enjoyment of all that is good. And what Hosea is saying is listen, in the midst of all these things that are happening, in the midst of all the culture wars and all the things that are happening in culture, and you running after things other than God, it is time to seek the Lord. You're to sow seed with a view and a vision of the righteousness of God, with a view of things being right with you and God, right in your marriage, right with your family. Listen, this is a sowing with a view. When I'm putting in the seed, if I'm sowing corn in the garden, I've got a view of corn stalks and healthy corn coming. If I'm sowing black-eyed peas, yeah, black-eyed peas sound great. If I'm sowing black-eyed peas, I've got a vision in that sowing that the plant's going to come up and it's gonna reap black-eyed peas. And he's saying, listen, I want you to break up the fallow ground of your heart and your life, and I want you to sow the seed of righteousness, the righteousness of God, and I want you to sow with a view of righteousness coming to you, to your family, to our church, to our communities, to the world, to the nation, and to the world. It's time to seek the Lord. This is our default. This is what we do as believers in Christ. We turn off the news and we put our faces toward Him. And it doesn't mean that I'm not concerned, and it doesn't mean that I'm taking all the things that I need to do to be a responsible man in this world. But folks, being responsible without faith is sin. It just is. Anything that we do in this life without faith is sin. And it may be good and it may be right, but if you're not doing it according to faith, the Bible says it is sin. And I am begging me, I'm speaking to self, that all that I'm doing in this life, all that I'm doing in my schedule, all these things, is that I'm sowing with a view to righteousness, and I'm doing it with this view of faith. I'm doing it by faith in my great God. And I'm asking, are you seeking the Lord? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there is this great threat on God's people. And I'm just telling you, the threat to God's people is not new. It's age old. The threat to God's people began in the garden when man and woman were perfect. There's always been a threat. The Bible says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. The Bible says that the enemy is a roaring lion. He's wandering, seeking someone to devour. There's always been a threat. The enemy always threatens his people. And you have this threat, and I want you to notice what the threat is. Chapter 20, verse 1. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat, who was king of Judah. And the scripture says, then some came and reported it to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea out of Aram, and behold, right now they're in En-Gedi. They are knocking at the door. It's a threat. A huge threat. A threat to be concerned about. And I'm telling you, every threat of the enemy is something to be concerned about. But let me just tell you this. We serve a God who crushed the head of the enemy 2,000 years ago at the cross when he shed his blood for you and me to get this righteousness that Hosea is talking about. He crushed the head of the enemy, and then 2,000 years later, when you heard the gospel of Jesus, the same foot came down in your heart and crushed the enemy in your heart. The enemy of fear, worry, anxiety, stress, lust, greed, anger, unforgiveness, whatever it is that comes out of your life when you're squeezed, let me tell you, this great God crushed his head. There's always been a threat, and there always will be some kind of threat to your soul, to your mind, to your heart, and to your body. A hard diagnosis is a threat. Financial difficulty is a threat. And right now, there is a whole lot of threat going on. And when we fret in the threat, or will we turn to God and seek him first and seek him continually? And I want you to notice, this is what Jehoshaphat does. Notice, here's the threat. They're coming for us. They're coming to devour us. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. And notice what he did. He did two things. First of all, he turned his attention to seek the Lord, and then he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And so Judah gathered together to watch, to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. I want you to notice, this is what he did. He turned his attention to turn his face and his attention to seek the Lord. It's, Lord, what do you want to do here? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to respond? Lord, we are seeking you. You know, this is an absolute total. I'm telling you, this is an absolute total proper response to any threat and to anything else that's going on in your life. To seek the Lord, to turn your attention to him. I've got just a number of verses of scripture. And you'll find these notes later on. When the sermon is posted. Jeremiah 45:5 says, but you who are seeking great things for yourself, do not seek them. Let me ask you a question. How many things are you seeking for yourself and for your family? What are the things that I look at to think I'm seeking these things for myself? I'm thinking these things not for God, but for myself. 2 Corinthians 12:14, Rehoboam, he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Psalm 27:8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Psalm 34:19 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Are we going to seek the Lord? Are we going to seek his face? Are we going to seek him above ourselves and our situation and our circumstances? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Colossians 3:1 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, then keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Listen, this is a lifestyle. This is when things are going great, when they're going good, when there is no threat. And these are great things to do when there is threat. And I'm calling us as a church body to say it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek him. You know, it's real interesting. I've talked to many, many of you over the last 10, 15 days. And one of the questions that you ask me is, how am I doing? And this is what I've said to you. Well, right now I'm just seeking a new normal, a new rhythm. That's been my answer. What's been your answer to how are you doing? My answer has not been, well, I'm just seeking God right now. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm turning my face toward him. I don't want to just give a Christianese statement, but I'm just going to be honest to you. I've been more worried about my rhythm as a pastor than I have about seeking the face of God, and that is sin. How can I lead you like that? You know, you've often heard me say that it's a God-shaped hole in the heart that every person is born with, that comes into this world with. And I've got to ask the question, what is it that I'm seeking above God? Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting a new normal and a new rhythm. There's nothing wrong with shopping and doing the things you need to do to take care of your family. I'm just saying, am I seeking this? Am I a nervous wreck over this? Rather than I'm seeking the things of God today. It's a God-shaped hole. It's not a new rhythm hole. It's not a new normal hole. It's a God-shaped hole. Are you seeking comfort, making sure that you have enough? Listen, it's not a comfort hole that God comes to fill. Jesus comes into your life and He is enough. He's enough. He's this great God who cares about birds and grass. And He cares about us. He cares about you. And I don't know about you, but I want to be consistent in putting my eyes on Him who cares. Who cares for me and for my people. Whether it's my family, whether it's you, my people, our people. It's a God-shaped hole. It's not a goods and services-shaped hole. It's not a toilet paper shape hole. But my word, it's a God shaped. It is not food. It's not flesh shaped. It's not safety shaped. It's God shaped. And it's not an information shaped hole, a social media shaped hole. It's a God shaped hole. And I'm just saying that it's time to seek the Lord. This man, this king, he doesn't wait 2 weeks to see what's going to happen. He doesn't wait 3 weeks to see what's going to happen. No, there's a threat and it's coming. And what he does is he immediately turns his attention to seek the Lord. And then he does something else. He proclaims a fast. He proclaims a small season of fast for his people to operate out of. Listen, in times of national and personal threat and divine judgment, the people of God and some that were not the people of God sought the Lord. And there are many times in Scripture that they sought the Lord with prayer and fasting. And that's what he says he does. He is proclaiming a fast throughout all Judah. Now, I want you to say this. A biblical fast is to abstain from food for a specific amount of time for a specific appeal to God. When Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 9:9-19 is speaking to the children of Israel, he said that he fasted twice for 40 days and nights. The first time was when he went up on the mountain to receive the word. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you sought the Lord with fasting for a word from him? Then he said, I also prayed for Israel for 40 days and 40 nights for their sins. 40 days and 40 nights. He abstained from food. 40 days. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, when he goes into the wilderness, he fasts for 40 days to meet the head-on enemy who is the enemy, who is the king of threat. 40 days. Jonah 3:5 finds that the people of Nineveh, responding to Jonah's message of judgment, believe in God and they call for a 40-day fast. Can you imagine a pagan, awful people? I'm just telling you, an awful people who do awful things to their enemies. When they see Jonah when they see his appearance and hear the word, it is met with this fear of this threat, and that it's also met with the response to fast. And they fasted. And I want you to notice on your screen what would happen. Verse chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Amen. Esther 4, 13 through 17 finds Esther appealing to the Jews in Susa. Susa, Babylon, to fast for her 3 days. After discovering Haman's plot to exterminate God's people, 3 days so that she might enter into the king's palace, and have an audience with him to share what Haman is doing. And I'm telling you that the Jewish people fasted for her for 3 days. And by the way, they fasted without food and water for 3 days. God's people oftentimes respond to threat and the things going on in their lives, individually and corporately, by fasting. And so over the last few days, or last couple of weeks, in my prayer time, and after visiting with staff and elders, I'm calling our church body and our friends, to a 25-day fasting period during this coronavirus. From right now to the 30th of April. And I'm asking that sometimes during the next 25 days, we are asking that you set aside some time for prayer and fasting. I'm not telling you how to do this. I'm not being specific with you enough to say this is what you need to do. First of all, I want you to hear from God if this is what you're supposed to do. And I want you to operate this by faith, okay? We're asking you to consider over the next 25 days setting aside some time for prayer and fasting. Some of you may choose to have an extended time without food, and just maybe water or juice. I don't know. Maybe it's an extended time. Maybe a day. Maybe 2 days. 3 days. 4 days. Maybe God's putting that on your heart for this 25-day of fasting. You may choose to do intermittent fasting. You might miss a meal a day or 2 meals a day. And during the time that you normally would eat during that day time, that you're going to pray and ask God for mercy and ask God's blessing upon you, your family, the community, the nation, and the world during this crisis. You may miss a meal or two for a number of days. You may just do that for 3 days. You may just do that for 1 day. Listen, I don't want to just tell you, hey, 25 days fast. I'm just saying, would you pray about missing some meals and praying before God during that to seek the heart of God in what God might have for you by way of a word, what God might have for you by way of encouragement, or even by way of rebuke. Maybe even by way of rebuke. And I just want to let you know, when I've thought about this, it's a five points, and then there's some other things that we're going to talk to you about just that is in the app that you can look at. But I'm asking you during your prayer time to seek your greatest relationship with the Lord. I want to have the greatest relationship with God. Number two, I want you to cry out for repentance from anything that's in your life that's not of God. That you can repent as a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl. You might repent as a couple or a family. Maybe there's some things connected to church life or to the nation or even to the world that you might say, oh God, would you forgive us? Would you forgive us from turning from you? Would you forgive us? Would you forgive us for the 600, 700, 800,000 abortions a year? Would you forgive us, Lord? Would you come and do a work in my life? A third thing is we're asking that you might pray for deliverance from the virus, however serious it is, and its removal. But I want to tell you this, more than that, I'm asking that God would deliver us from the chaos and the fear of the threat. That he would do that. And number five, we pray that for personal church, national, and global revival, where people return to the Lord and come to the Lord, return to the Lord and come to the Lord for the very first time. Now, I want you to know that you can go to the app and you can go to the news feed. And there are two documents that we've put together. One of them is an overview of fasting. I just gave you a snippet of about fasting, but there's a whole two legal size sheets of paper with study on fasting and what fasting is. And then the second one is just a guide. And it's about a two-page guide that you can pray while you're fasting. You don't have to pray the whole thing, but there's three areas that we're asking you to pray for in that. And one of those areas is the loss that we're turning over into this initiative for the next 25 days. I'm just asking us to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time. It is time to spend more time with God, to spend more time with your family with God. It is time to seek the Lord. And I pray that you would heed this call today, that you would heed it with great, great reverence, with great integrity, with great sincerity, with a great desire to say, God, what could you do? When this message is posted, maybe you might feel to share it and to share what we're doing so that maybe other churches would come to call for a fast. And I chose 25 days because of the 30 days, where the fifth day and the 30 days that our government, that our leaders have asked us to move through. And so for the next 25 days, I'm just asking you to seek, turn your face to the Lord, and to sometime during the 25 days, practice some fasting. Again, you can get on the app, Cottonwood Life app, and you can see these two documents and can learn more about it. Let me just tell you this. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. You'll see God work. You'll see God move. You'll see it because you've heard God to fast. Now, if God's not telling you to fast, that is awesome. That's great. But I'm asking you to, and I'm pleading with you, to just consider this and move with this if God says to move. Well, I want you to notice something about this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice that they call for the fast. He seeks the Lord. He calls for the fast. And then they gather together to seek the Lord. And I want you to notice verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not the God of heavens? And are you not ruler of over all the kingdoms and the nations? Power, might, and in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. First thing he does when he turns his attention to the Lord in this corporate assembly, he praises his God and tells and testifies and confesses before his people how great his God is. I think that's a great way to start your prayer. A wonderful way to start your prayer. That you are a great and awesome God. That power and might in your hand so that no one can stand against you. And then the second thing he does is he makes an appeal. He said, did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? And did you not give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Let me ask you a question. In New Testament times, where's the house of God? It's not this building. It's you, the people of God, individually, corporately, to stand before God and to make an appeal to Him. He said, listen, verse 10, here's the thought, God. Now these sons of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade, they've come out of the land of Egypt. They've turned aside from them, did not destroy them. See how they're rewarding us by coming to drive us out of our out from your possession, which you have given to us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we, watch this, we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Prayer of humility, not arrogance. A prayer of humility, not pride. Oh, God, this thing's coming against us. This thing is here, and we are powerless before this great multitude. We are powerless before this chaos. We are powerless before these strongholds of sin. We are powerless of these diseases, of these viruses that may be coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on us, on you, Lord. We are waiting for you. And watch, and all Judah was, verse 13, was standing before the Lord with their infants and their wives and their children. They're holding their babies. And they're holding their babies, and they're looking for a word. They're holding their babies with their families, and they're doing this together. They're standing in the presence of God, and they're saying, oh God, speak to us. We're fasting and we're praying. And we have agreed with our leader, Jehoshaphat. We have been fasting and praying these days. And then the answer came, folks. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Isn't that just a great thing to say before God? Isn't that just a great thing to memorize? Our eyes, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are not on the plague. It's not on the virus. It's not on the multitude coming. It's not on the financial difficulty. It's not on the unemployment. It's not on the economic crisis. It's not on losing my job. It's not on the lack of funds. My eye is on you. Because that's the best place I could put my eyes. The best place. Are you seeking the Lord? Are your eyes upon him? Look at the answer. Verse 14. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. Actually, folks, the sons of Asaph are the priests that are the temple singers and worshipers. And he stands up with this great, great heritage behind him of priestly heritage and this priestly worship of God. And he says, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, because the battle is not yours, but God's. Let me just say that in another way. It's not your fight. This is not your fight. This is God's fight. And you join him in the fight. The battle belongs to God. It's exactly what David said to Goliath in the threat of a nation on another day. And this is what he says today. The battle belongs to God. Do you see what's happening here? I'm afraid, but I turn my attention to the Lord. I fast and I pray. And all of a sudden, I make this appeal to God by his faithfulness and by his word. And then all of a sudden, God comes along and says, hey, don't fear. I got this. I got it. And I'm just going to say this. God's got this. The battle belongs to him. And when this is all over, this ought to be a lesson to us. That whatever we face, and I'm just saying, I said this Wednesday, there's some of you facing some hard things right now. hard things, difficult things that have nothing to do with the virus. And He has got you. He has got this in your loss, the loss in your health right now. Has nothing to do with coronavirus. He's got this. The battle is not yours. It's not your fight. All you got to do is to go down. Watch this. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they're going to come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. And watch this. You need not fight in this battle. You just station yourself, and you stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord. Watch this, worshiping God. And then the Levites from the sons of Kohathites and the sons of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a very loud voice. Confident that they got a word from God. And I just want you to see, I want you to take some time, maybe when we finish this in just a few minutes, and to continue to read it. But I just want you to know that when they move on in the morning, and they rise up and they move out to face this enemy, and Jehoshaphat speaks in verse 20 and says, "Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and they destroyed them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when they looked toward the multitude, behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. God has this. He has whatever this is in your life. He's got it. He's Lord. The battle belongs to him. It just does. Listen, this God is greater than the new normal. This God is greater than goods and services. This God is better than life itself. And I find this passage of scripture to be so encouraging. They gather, they seek the help of the Lord. Jehoshaphat prays, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes on you." And the word of God comes, "Don't fear, it's not your fight. Put your trust in the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is forever." Just go worship and watch God work. Watch him work. This is my prayer for us, for you. And my prayer is that as we move through the next 25 days, that a couple of things will be happening. Number one, you'll start understanding more about God and who he is, and this beautiful relationship beginning to blossom even more. And you're gonna just see God at work. Listen, I'm not saying that this changes everything out there. I'm just saying it changes everything in there. It does. And my prayer is that you will connect us. You'll connect with Cottonwood. And you'll let us know what's going on. You'll let us know how you're praying and what God's showing to you and what God is saying to you through these 25 days of prayer and these 25 days of prayer and fasting. And I pray that you'd get to that. You would get to that app today, and look at those two documents, and consider seeking the Lord, and fasting before him. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek him. I want you to bow with me in prayer. We're going to have a time of reflection. How's God speaking to you? What is God showing? What is God doing? And a great, great song to close on. After this, I'll come and bless you and say this blessing on you, and then